Hey, it's so, so exciting to be here today, isn't it? I'm so, so excited to see Hamidra, Alero, and Shumi got baptized. This is powerful stuff, isn't it? Yes, what they said was powerful, and what they've done, I mean, is symbolism, but it also has a powerful divine significance. And I pray that we take this serious. And if you're here and you're not baptized, then I just want you to know that if Jesus Christ, the one that you follow, whom you say you are a Christian, that means a Christ follower, God baptized, Jesus did. And if you're a Christ follower, a Christian, and you are sitting here not baptized, then which Jesus are you following? Did you get that? I think this is logical agreement, isn't that right? We are in this country, so we think laterally. As well. So with Jesus Christ are you following? Today the message is about the great salvation, and my name is Pastor Gideon Nash, and I'm going to really bring the message to you, and I'll try to explain some of the things that Hamida, Alero, and Shumi have done today. And it is my prayer that even as I go through this, you pay careful attention. And if you feel guilty, I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. If you feel convicted, then it's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you that you got to do something about what you're hearing. And I pray that you will not just be hearing of the word, but you'll be the doer of the word. Because in that way, you are able to bear much fruit. Okay, so shall we read our passage from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just recompense, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Amen. You see, when you take it from verse 4 and bring it upwards, it's literally trying to tell us that when one begins to do what is right and give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means Jesus Christ has absolute control over your life. That means you defer to him, that he directs your life. That means he is priority in your life. Your work is not priority. Your family is second priority. Your church is second priority. Your pastor is second priority. But Jesus Christ has absolute priority over your life. That is what they're saying. So that means that they are willing to obey. You see, these days people don't like obeying, but when you obey, it's a good thing. It's not a biblical word. The word obey is an English language, right? It wasn't invented by the Bible. If you obey, it helps you. I've always loved to use traffic lights as an example. When it is red, you got to obey it. Is that right? Obey means do what it says. That means that it is not safe to cross the road. You must stop. If you don't, there will be consequences. Is that okay? And some people try to, the moment they see the red coming, because they don't want to obey and they see the amber, they try to shoot through it. And sometimes there are consequences because the red is always behind the amber. So the amber is warning you that the red is coming. So if we obey scripture and we obey Jesus Christ, that means we will take his word seriously. So can you pull the verses up again for us? So we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, as a result of what I'm just telling you. Therefore, that's English language. To what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. So that we do not go away from it. For if the message, if the angel from the heaven is telling you this, and is binding, then every violation of God's word and disobedience, the word obey coming through, that means disobedience means I am not going to obey, will receive its just reward. Whenever you disobey the laws of this land, you get a just reward. When you disobey the laws of your family or your parents or your mother or your father, when they say, don't do this, X, Y, Z, and you do that, then there's always consequences. That's what we mean by you receive its just reward or just compensation, recompensation, or just punishment. So I just want you to understand that if this is true, even for this world, then how can you escape? Then how can you escape with God if you ignore such great salvation? Salvation isn't a powerful thing. So today we have three wonderful ladies who have come up to be baptized. Hamida, Alero, and Shumi. And we've heard about their stories and the beginning of it and the challenges that they've had in life and how they've been able to go through. And one theme that comes through this time and time again is that they still hung on to Jesus. Did you get that? In the midst of this, Jesus came through for them. Sometimes when people go through difficult times, what happens is that as soon as they go through the difficult time, they just run away from Jesus. That is when they stay away from church. Oh, I'm going to difficult. Oh, I have a little headache. Oh, I've got a little throat infection. Oh, I've got a little handache and things like that. That is what that's their excuses from not coming to church. Really? Throat infection? Really? A headache? Really? A little hand problem? And you can't come to church? The next day they put on their dresses and their stilettos and they are in work. Wow! The reason why they give those excuses is that they are disobedient children. They don't want to obey the word of God, because the Bible tells in Hebrews that do not forget the assembling of the brethren together, as some do, as the days are getting nearer. And for some, going to church is when they only go to church when there's baptism. They only go to church when there's a funeral. Wow, you want to die too? Some go to church when there's a wedding. Apparently, in some cultures, when they have parties, that is when they look for their partners. So people go to weddings to find wives and husbands. Hey, I'm just speaking freely here, right? I'm just telling the truth, right? Yes or no? Yes. Thank you. Some of you believe me. But that is the truth. Now, so, we've had these three wonderful women coming to tell their stories and the beginning of their new journeys to follow Jesus Christ. They have put down the markers to define their eternal destinies. To your hearing today, they said, we've taken Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have renounced the work of the evil one, and we will follow Jesus no matter what. Did you get that? So the writer of Hebrews is trying to challenge us and encourage us at the same time. We must pay the most careful attention. Therefore, do what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Hamid and Alera and Shumi are known to you. Some are fairly new to this church, but they are known to you, aren't they? If you don't know them, you've seen their beautiful faces, so you can't ignore that you don't know them. At least you've seen them. And some of you, you've been invited by them to come and support them and to be a witness that they say they want to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. So therefore, because you're a witness, then you can have a view about them, isn't it? But then how can you judge them when you yourself, you're down? Hallelujah. So whatever view you have about them, make sure that you are sorted out yourself. So that you can judge them that, oh, I saw you getting baptized, now look at what you're doing, but what are you doing yourself? Hallelujah. So you'll be in a better place to judge them when you yourself is sorted out and you have put your marker right beside Jesus Christ. And when that happened, then you are in a better place and say, you know what, Shimi, what are you doing? is inconsistent with the word of God. I don't know, this is a foul. I mean that this is not right. It's disobedient to God. Then you are in a better place to do that. Did you get that? So the challenge for you is that we want you to be judges of what they have done today and what they have told you today. But to be able to be a better judge, you must also make sure that you are righteous yourself. You see, sometimes when people know that they are sinners, you know what they said? I am not perfect. And so anytime somebody says, I'm not perfect, you know they are sinners. Because they know that there is something that they are doing which is not wrong. And therefore, if they let it out, you will judge them too. So they say, we are not perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. Of course. We are not perfect. But reality is that the Bible says we have our righteousness in Jesus Christ. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So at any time, the Bible said, you are justified before Christ. That means you are just as if you've never sinned. Does that make sense? This is the message about a great salvation. That even you and me, who can say we are not perfect, of course we are not. But then we are justified because of Jesus Christ. Because we have learned about sin and its consequences. We have learned that when we do right, then we are going to face some things. You see, and unless we are determined and willing to open our hearts to face what is right, we'll forever live in our sin. And there's a consequences for doing wrong. Am I communicating with you? Hallelujah. Let us pay careful attention. Some of you may be even perplexed and wondering, what is happening here? What's going on here? What is that pastor preaching about? I'm preaching about the great salvation. If this message spoken by angels was binding every violation and disobedience, receiving just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was confirmed by us, or to us, by those who heard them. What is salvation? Salvation is having escaped or being rescued or taken away from something that will otherwise harm you. So if somebody grab you out of something that is going to harm you, supposing there's, you are skiing, Bramwell loves skiing, right? I can't ski to save my life. But supposing I go skiing with him and he knows what to do. And then an avalanche, you probably wonder what is an avalanche. When the snowflakes begin to move like a mudslide, that is an avalanche. And when it comes with force. If you stay there, you ain't going to survive. And when there's an avalanche, and I don't know what it is, I'm going to die. But supposing Bramwell knows what to do, he warned me and said, Gideon, this will kill you. Run! And hopefully I can ski. And then we manage to get into safety. Whew. That is salvation. Somebody has warned you and you've escaped possible death. That is salvation. Salvation is escaping from somebody, something that will otherwise harm you, or being rescued from something which will otherwise harm you. Why? Because of the great love Bramwell has for me. If we couldn't care less, oh, this is the pastor who's been telling us all that we don't want to hear. Let me leave him so that the avalanche will bury him there. And nobody will know where he died. But I'm sure you're not like that, do you? Thank you. At least I have hope. So, here we are. That if someone loves you so much to save you or to warn you and to do something that will save you, then that person loves you indeed. And that is what Jesus Christ did. The Bible said, greater love has no man than this. That one would lay down his life for his friends. That's in John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus loves us so much that he would lay down his life for us. And God loves you so much that he will send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Meaningful life. That is incredible, isn't it? Salvation also means that God rescued us from that which would otherwise harm us, but instead putting us on the right track so that we can achieve our destiny. So, for instance, if you have kids in the home and they're doing something which is bad and you try to correct them, you correct them, you know what? You are saving their life for the future. One day, some of them will become prime ministers. Some will become presidents of big corporations. Some will sweep the streets. Some will, empty our bins. All these things happen because nobody is more important than the others. Because if the road sweeper stops and the person who collects your bins at home stops, there are going to be a lot of friends visiting you. You know, the friends that I'm called? Fairy friends with long tails and a little voice. They smell bad, you know. And they have poisonous things with them. So everybody's important, and therefore we have to honor each other. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is the fact that one day, as you direct your children right, you are saving them for the future. Hallelujah. There are lots of things that will harm you. Sickness can harm you. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, guns, and all forms of oppression can harm you. Sin can also harm you. Sin is a violation of God's law. How can we escape? For if the message spoken by angels, bring it back. If the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received just recompense, how can we escape this? So sin is a violation of God's law. So if there is a violation, then to have to receive it just recompense. Do you understand that? Sin is disobedience. Sin is choosing independence and living a life without God. A life without God in this world is a life without hope, and that is sinful. So some people say, oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I don't sin. I don't fornicate. Yeah, you understand that? That means that sleeping with somebody that you are not married to. That is fornication. You receive your just recompense. If you are in marriage and you're doing something, you're having a bit on the side, that is adultery. You receive just recompense. In this church, we speak freely because that's the word of God, right? Is that so? Because we have to speak the truth. Once upon a time, we were such a nice church. We wouldn't tell people, and people were doing bad things and was harming them. So we want to bring them great salvation. And great salvation is to tell you as it is, so that you change your ways. There's right and there is wrong. There's no fuzzy middle ground anywhere. Because our political correctness wants to tell you that, oh, you can't say this, or you can't say that. And the people are doing wrong, and we can't say that. Sometimes I get so frustrated about our current political system, and there's going to be a voting, very soon, and please, I beg you, vote for somebody. Whatever you do, vote for somebody. But sometimes I'm thinking, I'm struggling to believe some of our leaders when I see that they're telling so much lies, and they don't believe in some who are living in utopia, and they don't even believe what they say. And I'm thinking, God, where are we going with this? Where has integrity gone? Where has right and wrong gone? We're all in the middle ground, just moving as if we are going down the cliff. But thank God there's great salvation. So we don't have to go over the cliff. This is a great nation. What if anyone thinks, I believe it's a great nation? Hallelujah. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, as we've been reading, verse 12 and 13 says that such a person who sins is excluded, is alienated, and foreign to the promises that that God gives, because you are far from God. But this is not what we read. But Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about grace. Grace and mercy found us. We heard that, didn't we? You see, he said, once upon a time, we were excluded because of sin. Sin will exclude you. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel. That means excluded from the commonwealth of Jesus and being a child of God. And foreigners to the covenant of the promise without hope and without God in this world. He can bring me chapter 10, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. So today, Hamida, Alero and Shimi, who once were far from God, did not know God, as a result of choosing independence, not having God. Maybe they were not doing all those bad things that we've been talking about. They were not smoking, they were not drinking, they were not, sleeping with other people. They were just doing the right things, but they were far from God, and therefore they were sinners. They were excluded from the promises of God. So it's not what we do, but how we relate to God that judges whether we are righteous or sinners. Hallelujah. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood of Jesus Christ has rescued us from where we were and brought us back to this place. So today I'm so excited for Hamida. I'm so excited for Aleru. I'm so excited for Shumi that today the blood of Jesus Christ has brought the grace of God before them. Those of us who were far from God, chasing the wind of life in this world and never getting satisfied, God says that I'm bringing you far. I'm bringing you close to me. And what are the winds? Some of the winds that we chase in this world. Some of us, we chase so much money. There's nothing wrong with having money, right? I believe in millionaires. I believe in people being millionaires, and some too haven't just enough, and some too don't have anything. Money is good when you have it and you know what to do with it and you handle it well. But it can also undo you if your hope and everything is based in the money. That's why they say that money is the root of all evils. That means when all your hope is in your money, remember one day it will undo you. I've seen many people in the cities taking their lives, especially during the credit crunch. And some time back when there was an October crash, about how many years ago, I don't remember, I'm getting too old. And before we even ever heard of a Black Friday, the Black Friday was a financial term, not for you to go and buy so many goods. And when there was a crash in this country, I saw friends and people who took their lives. Some of them were managing some huge portfolios, and suddenly, I'm sure they could have lived, but they couldn't handle the pressure that came to them. Some too, they lost their jobs just like that. Some businesses just went crashing because their hope was in money. Some in music. Music always comes with drugs, or 90% of the time comes with that. A lot of musicians, just because the work is hard, and it's either you sell your soul to the devil or you become hyped up in drugs. Not everybody does that, but a lot of them do that. There are guns on our streets today. And amazingly, our community has just cottoned on, thinking it's the cool thing, it's the in thing to have. But one gun is a weapon. Once in your hand and you lose it, that means somebody upset you because you have a weapon, you use it. And that is killing us and killing many. Some of the wind that is blowing people is sexual perversion, immoral lifestyle, and others spend most of their time on social media. You know what? They don't care much about God. Some even come to church and they go home and they are much more interested in doing their social media. These things were supposed to be a good tool for us to communicate a little bit. But then, you know what? Suddenly, those things are taking over our minds, our emotions, and our will. And therefore, once you get on it and you get some friends connecting and coming up with whatever story they come in, if you're not careful, you stay on for a long, long time. By the time you realize, an hour gone, and you wouldn't even notice. It's not sinful, but all what I'm trying to say is that it's a wind that is taking you away and your heart from God. And most of the things that you discuss there is about nothing. Some people say WhatsApp is not a social media, but I see people hooked on WhatsApp. I'm not technical, so I don't even know the difference. And they will be hooked on it. And people say, this, and what is even sometimes, anyway, let me not go there, let me go there. I would digress. So let's move on from there. So what I'm saying is that if these things are wind, then when the same wind suddenly turns against you, then You have nothing to crutch on or hold on to. And you begin to cave in because you are without hope and without God. Daniel tells us that those who know their God, when a time will come, he said, he prophesied so many years ago that a time will come that knowledge will increase and knowledge will flow to and fro, literally in seconds. And people will move to and fro in seconds. Right? Isn't that true? You can communicate with somebody in Jamaica, somebody in Nigeria, somebody in America in seconds. That is knowledge flowing to and fro. But the people who know their God will become strong and do exploits. The question is, in the midst of knowledge flowing to and fro, do you know your God? Are you becoming strong? Are you able to become exploits? That is the question that you and me need to answer. When we all know that when we break laws of our land, we receive just punishment, why then do we think that if we break the laws of the Almighty God, we will escape the judgment? For since the message spoken through angels, because I keep repeating so that you can get it into your heart. I'm sure when you go home, you become a preacher yourself because this message will be in your heart and in your mind, buzzing in your hand. For since the message spoken through angels, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Now, similarly, there are unseen forces of evil and wickedness that also work in the dark world, whose purpose is to destroy us if we are without hope and if we are without God. Let's read something from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'll read from the Living Bible translation, but whatever translation you have is the same thing, but I love this because it breaks the language so easy, because apparently the person who wrote this wrote that Bible for his daughter to understand the Bible, because he felt that the King James Version at the time was just too strong and too difficult to understand. But then if they can read this, they can write a Bible in this translation to help them, that TLB, the Living Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, this is what it says. For we are not fighting or wrestling against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. That's the spirit world out there. In case you don't believe it, there are occultists, there are sorcerers, there are witchcraft, there are people who read your palms, there are people who are fortune tellers. These are all evil spirits in the wicked spirit realm. If you don't believe it, when they say you die, go and buy your coffin because they can kill you. Why? Because you don't see them. They are persons without bodies. And when they are killing you, you don't even see. The next thing that you see yourself, you are in your coffin. And you can't even talk back. Is that true? When you're a coffin, you can't talk back. I've never seen anyone in a coffin talking back. Never. If they talk back, I'm sure you'll run. Right. So in the ancient world, the Bible says we are wrestling for, we struggle, or we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this age, authorities, and against the powers of darkness in this world, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. We are surrounded by these unseen. Some of you believe in ghosts. They're all spirits of wickedness. That takes people you know's faces. So your auntie died, and the next day you say, I've met my auntie out there. You haven't met no auntie. It's the spirit of wickedness taking your auntie's face, coming to really mess up your brain. In some cultures, after that, they say they have to go and kill a goat and sacrifice to the god. That means it actually moves you into another realm of even further darkness. So you are stuck in there. And that is how this spirit of wickedness do. The whole purpose is to make you without hope, without God and become far from God. That means your future is being messed about. I'm bringing my message to an end in about 10 minutes, hopefully, if not less. See, now, salvation is only through Jesus Christ. To be rescued from anything that will harm you can only happen through Jesus Christ. Of course, physical beings can help you out, but how can anybody rescue you from persons without bodies? You don't see them. How can they rescue you from it? You go to sleep and you have some horrible dreams, and it's like you had a nightmare, and you wake up and you are in sweat and you are panicking. You think it's nothing? Persons without bodies are messing you about. And I just want you to know, some people actually die in their sleep because of nightmares. And the whole idea is to put fear in you that you walk in fear all your life. And in case you don't believe that fear is spirit, when you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it said, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind." Because fear makes you unsound in your mind. Because when you walk in fear, you behave silly. And you do things that you're not supposed to do. You just see things and you freak out. You are walking but a shadow of yourself. That is what fear does to you. Fear will prevent you from actually achieving your destiny and taking bold steps for yourself to achieve something big for yourself. Fear will put you back. For many students, how the enemy attacks them is put fear in them, that when they come and they see the exam paper, they freak out. Everything that they've studied just goes out of their brain because fear doesn't want you to become that graduate that you need to be, or that A-level student that you need to be, or that, whatever, doctor, whatever you want to be. Fear can destroy you. Thank you, Tanya. Keep praying, playing it. Only Jesus can save us. But then not only does he save, but he saves us completely, to the uttermost, all who come to God through him. Since he will live forever, he will always be there to remind God that he has paid for our sins with his blood. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. That's what he says. Therefore, he's able to save them completely, those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede, as it were. Interceding means reminding God, telling God, praying to God, oh God, you know what? I died for this person. I died for Shumi. I died for Alera. I died for Hamida. And I died for you too. And therefore, do not put this sin against that person. Yes, as our saying goes, we are not perfect. But then because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible said we are able to go to Jesus Christ and say, God, we are sorry. That is, sin has a consequence. And therefore, I have to repent. Repenting means turning around from your wicked ways or from the direction that you are going that you know is wrong. And now face God and say, God, I'm ready to change my ways. And when we repent, we receive forgiveness. That means when we face God and say, God, I'm ready to make myself, I'm ready to follow you, for your spirit to transform my life and change me, then God is going to make sure he forgives you. We know that from 1 John chapter 1. But if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus Christ is today going to remind God that Alero, Hamida, and Shumi have taken the decision that they are going to live for him, and therefore, even if they make it, they get it wrong, God is going to say, Jesus Christ is going to say, I died for that sin. I died for that sin. I died for that sin. So forgive them. And they are ready to say, God, forgive me. When they came to our discipleship pathway, new life and new being, one of the things that they might have learned is that they have to live a life of conversion, that sin has consequences. If you're far away from God, it has consequences. If you are disobeying the word of God, it has consequences. If you are independent from God, it has consequences. That is sin. And if you are doing certain things that are headline things that you know is wrong, there are consequences. One day you see the result in your life. Because everything that you do, some of us are releasing into this generation. Children who we are releasing curses into their lives because that we are literally doing the wrong thing. We are bringing them into this world not in the right way. And therefore, we release certain things that falls upon them and follows them. A pattern is going to be repeated, but we thank God that we have the power and ability in this church that we are able to help you to cope with these things and be able to get out of it completely. One time. And as I'm bringing this message to an end, I have to remind you of three words. The first bunch of three words, and there will be a second bunch of three words. The first bunch of three words is natives, foreigners, and sojourners. That's my first three bunch. You see, if you are native to a place, that means you're going to be there forever. When we say this plant is native to America or native to Britain or this bird is native to Kent, it's going to be there forever. Wherever it goes, it's definitely going to be there. Each time you want it, it's going to be there. Native, you're going to be there forever. If you're a foreigner, that means that you're not native. You're not going to be there forever. And somehow you come and stay in one place, but one day you go back because you're a foreigner. You cannot be a native. And when we say you're a sojourner, that means you are sojourning. That means you have passed through that land and you are there for a moment. But then you are going somewhere. And that somewhere is always on your mind that you never forget that you have to go there. Some of us are sojourners. Some of us are foreigners too. And I'm sure some of you are natives as well. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this because no one of you, not even me, none of us, is a native to this world. Let me explain. A native is somebody who you forever stay there. You always find that person there. But one day, you will die. So we are not native to this land. We are not native to this world. We are foreigners in this world. And therefore, we are here for a season. But a season, a time will come that we will die. Anybody can tell me that they will not die? Somebody help me out. In 150 years, if any of you, God gives you the chance to live, I can promise you that you won't see any of us here. It will be just you. We are foreigners. And we are sojourners. So as we are passing through this land, we have to know that we have a home to go. So we cannot make this world our home, and all our hopes and all our ambition will be in this world and what the world gives us. It is for us to enjoy it as a foreigner, because those of you who are foreigners, probably in your country, you don't eat chicken, you only eat it at Christmas. But then when you come here, you can go to Tesco's anytime to get it. Enjoy it whilst you're here, but a time will come that you have to go back home. Hallelujah. I'm not saying if you're literally a foreigner, go back home, right? I cannot tell you to go back home. But all what we are saying is that somehow along the line, we should have these words in our mind that one day we'll die. And when we die, the Bible said, after death, there's judgment. After death, you stand before God and God will judge you what you did with your life and what have you done with your life whilst you are here on this earth. Did you spend all your life working? Even that you get pensioned. I know my father, he has been pensioned for about 20 years. Is that right, Mr. Lloyd Gallimore? And many more. You can't work forever. A time will come that your strength will fail because you are old. Are you waiting till that time before you consider God? Probably your brain would have failed and therefore you can't consider God at that time. Now is a time of salvation. Now is the time for you to consider Jesus Christ. Now is the time for you to know that the other three points that I want to bring to you is that is death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is about the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection. So as Shumi, as Alero, and as Hamida went into the water, they were literally saying, we have died unto Christ. We have died unto the things of the devil, and therefore the works of the evil one will not follow us anymore. We have died. So as they go to the water, they said, we are being buried in the water. And then we are coming out in power and in newness of life. So the cross of Jesus Christ gave you and me hope. Hope as foreigners, hope as sojourners. And today, Will you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as others have said? I've said many things. Some of it may be touching you. And you'll be thinking, this pastor, if I get a chance, I'll give him one. No, sir, no, ma'am. God has given me power and will give it to every Christian. You can't kill me. No human being can. It doesn't mean I have to live careless. But I just want you to know the cross has given us hope. Death could not hold Jesus Christ. So death cannot hold you if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may die today physically, but God will raise you up, just as this baptism is showing. And you will be with God forever. That's what the Bible tells us. And I believe so. And in my case, it's not a cerebral belief, but it's an experiential belief. Because I've had a near-death experience. I'm not going to go into it. And therefore, I know that death is real. When you die, you have no connection with this world. So I want to recommend Jesus to you today. Today, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you a chance. Never mind the person who's sitting by you. I've never seen two people put in the same coffin unless you're on a battlefield, that they will just dump you. Even they don't even put them in the same coffin. They put them in the same grave. And I know some people buy graves so deep that they can pile people on each other. You're always in the coffin alone. So today, don't look at the person around you. Don't let that person confuse you. So today, if you want to give Jesus Christ a chance in your life, I want you to just stand on your feet and I'll pray with you. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's about your hope in God. So who is that person that wants to give his or her life to Jesus Christ now? I'm not saying come and say, oh God, I did this. I'm not asking you to confess any sin to nobody. You're only going to talk to God. I just want you to give you a chance. Who is that person who wants to give his or her life to Jesus Christ? Don't let the eyes around worry you. You just stand and we're going to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone? Do we have any more people? Because I have just about 2 minutes and I have to close so that the service can close somehow. Is anybody here who wants to give his or her life to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. We are talking about intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. You're coming close to God. Like a husband have intimacy with a wife. You're coming close to God. So that you have hope and you have God. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that your resurrection is powerful. Therefore, you are able to save us to the uttermost. Anyone who comes through you and through Jesus Christ to you, since you always live to intercede for them, Jesus Christ today is praying for you. Now, for the rest of you, I want you to close your eyes. Those of you standing, keep standing. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus Christ came for sinners. Jesus Christ came for sinners, for which I am chief. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about after me speaking for so many minutes now. So today, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer after me. It may be not fashionable, but it's a powerful prayer that will take you from hell unto life. If you are ready, you can pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I want to hear you talking. Yes? Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that my sins separate me from you. I freely choose to repent from all my sins, from my life without hope, from my life without God, my life of separation from God. And I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that God the Father raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ, I ask You to come into my heart right now and change my life by Your Holy Spirit. Today, I renounce all covenants, all agreements with the enemy, Satan, the devil. If I die right now, when I open my eyes, I will be in Your arms, my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I'm praying for you, those of you who are standing. Father God, I pray and I dedicate these souls before You. Father God, I give these people to You. I give them to You, O God. I give their lives to You. Father, I pray that by Your hand and by Your power, Father God, You protect them from the evil one. Father, I pray that Your name will be glorified in their lives, that if they die today, and when they open their eyes, they will be in the arms of God. But whilst they live, Father God, I pray to protect them from the evil one and lead them not into temptation. Father God, I thank You. And today I seal them with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that took away their sins. The blood that took away their sicknesses. The blood that took away every curses that came upon their lives. You bore it on the cross, so they are free today. I declare them free in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Your word. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Hey, you may take your seat right now. God bless you. What I will say is that those of you who stood, my ushers and administrators,